So today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and so shockingly, we are going to be talking about gratitude. However, we're going to be talking about it in maybe a way that you've never looked at it before. So this is the fourth message in this series, and we have called it Mind Control. And the whole idea is that what consumes your mind actually controls your future. So the first week, we talked about that and just laid out, you know, this idea that all of us, sometimes we get sucked into negative thinking, but that we have to combat that by meditating on the Word of God. And once you can renew your mind with the Word of God, you can do that by starving your fears and feeding your faith with it. Then if you can do that, then your life will change, because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And then we discussed that we all need confidence in different areas of our lives, and that there is an illusion that is that you can have confidence in yourself alone. But the truth is that your self-confidence, it has to be God-centered to be stable. And we have to pull all of our confidence by God's promise, or from God's promises and who He says that we are. And last week, we talked about encouragement, that we all need encouragement, and sometimes you're the person that needs the most encouragement, and there is one person that you can count on to encourage you, and that is you. And so we talked about how to encourage yourself in the Lord. So if you didn't get any of those messages, you can go back to and pick those up on our website or our YouTube page. So today, I want to talk to you and show you one of the ugliest languages or one of the ugliest words in the English language. You ready? Here it comes. Ungrateful. Yep, it's pretty ugly, because nobody wants to be ungrateful. And in fact, the thing about ungratefulness is it's almost impossible to see in ourselves. You know, we know when we're angry, we know when we're afraid, we know when we're nervous, and we might even admit at some point along the way if we felt insecure in an area. But ungrateful? See, it's really hard to see in the mirror. In fact, if somebody has ever told you that you're ungrateful, we immediately, we sit back and go into defense mode, telling them that they're wrong. Because when somebody tells us that we're ungrateful, we feel like they are accusing us of not feeling something. And we immediately get this sense of, you know, that, and I just think, well, no, wait a minute, I'm not ungrateful. And I begin to rehearse all of my grateful thoughts and my grateful feelings. And then I start to even feel even more grateful for the things that they told me I was ungrateful for. And then by the time that they're finished telling me that I'm ungrateful, I'm feeling more gratitude than I've felt in a long time, which makes me respond to them that they are absolutely wrong. I am very grateful, because I retreat back into my grateful feelings and my grateful thoughts. And this is why it's really hard to see within ourselves. And this is why you could spend the rest of your life in your key relationships and actually be ungrateful and never, ever see it. In fact, there are people, and maybe even sitting next to other people right now, that are thinking, I am so glad that they are watching this with me. And some of you are thinking, oh, well, I wish this person could view this, or I wish, you know, my parents could hear this, or I wish my spouse were here. Because you see it, but they don't. And the real interesting thing is that some of you, right now, you're watching, maybe you're couples or you're a family, and you're all glad secretly that the other ones are watching with you. See, ingratitude can actually shut down relationships. Most of you can tell stories about an ongoing relationship that you've had that was full of emotion, passionate, healthy, and then it shut down over time because that other person somewhere along the line, they began to send you a signal. And that signal was simply that they didn't seem to be grateful for you. Because ingratitude has the power to shut down whole relationships. And the worst thing about it is that we don't even know what's going on because we think we're grateful. We never know what's going on because it's almost impossible to see ungrateful within ourselves. Now, we can see it in other people, but it's almost impossible to see within ourselves. In fact, this could be at the heart or the center of some of your relational struggles right now. Whether it be with your parents or your kids or with your spouse or even somebody at work or school. But the good news today is that there is an answer in the Bible for this predicament. The gospel writer Luke, he shares a story with us that has an incredibly powerful message on how to help us through this. And it's hidden beneath the surface of a story. But I think today we're going to get a really powerful dose of what we can do to impact the relationships around us. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, and he's traveling along the border, which means he was kind of trying to stay out of the public eye. So he travels along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and when he's going into a village, 10 men who have leprosy, they meet him, and it says that they stood at a distance and called a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, if you know anything about a culture from ancient times, leprosy was a feared disease. It was horrible, and people thought leprosy was contagious. So when anybody had any kind of signs of leprosy, they were immediately put outside the community, usually with other lepers. And people were assigned to take them daily food. But basically, the lepers, they all had to live together, and it was a horrible disease. And not only were you going to die, but you became an outcast. You couldn't go, you couldn't see your family, you couldn't have a job. And everywhere you went, in many cultures, you had to ring a bell to let people know that you were coming. And in this particular society, it meant that you were also a religious outcast. You were ceremonially unclean, you couldn't go to temple, you couldn't worship. Your life was destined to live alone for the rest of your life, and the only contact that you would have was with other people with leprosy. So Jesus is out in this border area, and he's moving along, trying not to be seen by anybody, and all of a sudden he hears these voices calling out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And it says that when he saw them, this is really interesting what he says in verse 14. It says, when he saw them, he tells them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, let me explain this for a second. According to Old Testament law, when a leper realized that, hey, you know what, I think my leprosy has gone away, and every once in a while, leprosy would just mysteriously go away. There was no cure for leprosy or anything they could do medically, but every once in a while, somebody would just be, you know, whether it be supernaturally or some unknown reason, would be cured. So what they had to do was they had to go to the priest, and the priest would declare that they could go back to society if the leprosy was gone. So Jesus tells them, all 10 of you, go show yourself to the priest, which is really odd because at that point, they didn't have anything to show the priest other than their leprosy. So what Jesus is asking them to do is something that we have been asked to do, and that is to walk by faith, simply taking God at his word and doing what you would do if you believe that God would keep his promise. So that's what walking by faith is. And Jesus says, you've called me master, you've declared some kind of faith that I am from God, and so if you really believe that I am who you think I am, then I want you to go show yourself to the priest as an act of faith. So all 10 of these guys, even though they still have leprosy, they decide they're going to go into town, possibly bringing that bell or shouting, you know, whatever they have to shout for people to clear the path, and they're going to find the priest to see if Jesus has actually healed them. So this is what happens. Continuing in verse 14, it says that as they went, they were cleansed. And this is where the story gets interesting. Verse 15, one of them, not 10 of them, not 9 of them, only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back. One of them, when he saw he was healed, decided to come back. We would call this guy the returner. He was the only one that when he was on his way to see the priest, he realizes that suddenly he's healed. I mean, all the sores are gone, you know, all this stuff is gone, and he's feeling things that he hadn't felt in a long time because leprosy would destroy the feelings in your extremities. And he realizes he's been healed. And this one guy, out of all the 10, he returns and he goes back to Jesus. And it says, praising God in a loud voice. So now look at what this guy does when he finally gets to Jesus in verse 16. He says that he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And then the Bible tells us that he was a Samaritan. So when he finds himself at Jesus' feet, you know, in this amazing display of gratitude, he thanks Jesus. And Luke lets us know also, oh, by the way, he wasn't even Jewish. This was somebody from outside the race. He was a Samaritan. And then when he starts to thank Jesus asks him a question. He asks this. He says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, we're going to come back to this in a minute, but here's the tension that I think that we all live with in many of our relationships as it relates to gratitude. You see, Jesus points out that there is something wrong with this picture. He points out that for only 1 of the 10 was this circle of gratitude closed, but the other 9, they haven't returned. And then he asks him in verse 17, he says, "Were not all cleansed? Where are the other 9? And then he goes on in verse 18 and he says, "Has nobody returned to give praise to God except for this one foreigner?" And then he says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And that's the end of the story. Now, the emotional response for most of us who read this, the emotional response is this: out of the, like, those other 9 people, they were so ungrateful, they didn't even come back. But the interesting thing about this story is if we could go back, I'll bet, and chase down those other 9 and ask them, "Now, wait a minute, are you not grateful that Jesus healed you?" What do you think that they would say? I think that they would say, "Yeah, we're amazingly grateful. We're so grateful we can't even wait to tell our families. We can't wait to show the priest." And we could tell the priest, "Yeah, Jesus healed us. And next Saturday, we're going to go to temple and we're going to tell everybody that Jesus healed us." And for the rest of our lives, our story will be about the day that Jesus healed us. They would say, "Are you kidding me? Ungrateful? My heart overflows with gratefulness. I am feeling extremely grateful. I'm having many grateful thoughts." Meanwhile, Jesus is back with the one guy saying, "Weren't there 10? The other 9 are saying, "This is the greatest day of our lives." And Jesus is saying, "But weren't there 10? You see, they have, those other 9 have the same problem that we have sometimes. And here it is, that they felt it. They thought it, they just didn't express it. They felt grateful, they just didn't return to express it. So let me tell you what's going on in many relationships. We feel it, we think it, we just don't express it enough. And that is what makes this so dangerous relationally. Because you've told your boss how great your wife is, you've told all the other soccer moms, how great your husband is. You've told your teacher, you know, how grateful you are for what your parents have done for you. You've told your dad about how grateful you are for your mom, and your mom, how grateful you are for your dad. You've told everybody else about your kids except for your kids because you feel it. But we just haven't said it to the ones who need it. And somewhere in our lives, there is somebody, and they probably won't say it in these words, but somewhere in our lives, there's probably somebody standing around going, "Weren't there 10? And here's the principle, is that unexpressed gratitude feels like rejection. It feels like ingratitude. Unexpressed gratitude is real gratitude because we really do feel it. We really do believe it. We really are grateful. I mean, if you ask somebody and they started talking about it, you could see that. But unexpressed gratitude, it communicates rejection. It's the very opposite of what we think and feel. It communicates ingratitude, entitlement. And just like the other 9 lepers, a lot of times we are just so forward-oriented. We got to get on with the next thing. You know, now that I have what I need, or now that I have this opportunity, this job, this education, now that we have the ring, you know, it's all about the future. And if we would stop, you know, and if somebody would ask us mid-sentence, we would tell you how grateful we are. But unexpressed gratitude communicates rejection and even entitlement as well. Now, for all of us, you know, for the people, you know, maybe you're the cook of the family. And you would understand this because you decide to do the Big Mac Daddy meal, everybody's favorite. So you shop and, you know, you work on it and you put all the time into the kitchen. Maybe you skipped your show that day and you're hyper-focused. You want to get it right. And it's dinner time. And you call the family to dinner and it's crickets. And so you call them again. And you call them again, and until at this point, maybe you're angry or frustrated, and finally they get there, and they're sitting there, and they're talking about whatever thing they were talking about before they got to the table, and somebody wants to turn on the television, and everybody's focused, they're eating, maybe they're eating a lot, they're eating fast because it's so good, but they have things to do, and they get up and they leave without saying anything. Or maybe they say, may I be excused? They don't say anything. Or maybe your spouse pulls out the mail, pulls out their phone, and they have no idea what they've done, how angry they've made you, because it feels like rejection, lack of appreciation. And somebody could ask them, you know, oh, now don't you appreciate them cooking? Oh, yeah, that would be great. But because there's nobody there to actually ask them, the unexpressed gratitude, the feelings of gratitude, when those go unexpressed, do you know what you feel? You feel rejected. And so everybody gets up and maybe everybody scatters and then there you are. And at this point, you're in a bad mood, right? And so you don't want to be in a bad mood, but these people did it. And then somebody else comes up and they ask the dumbest question that anybody can ask in a situation like this. So they walk up to you and, you know, maybe you've got a scowl on your face by now. You're upset. Maybe you're kind of being a little bit louder at cleaning up than normal. And what do they ask you? Well, what's wrong? And you're wondering how sharp the knives are at that point. Because they have no idea. Because they didn't express gratefulness. And by not expressing it, they express the opposite. What you heard is that they're not thankful, that they're entitled, you know, that you're rejected. Because after all, like, you're the cook of the family. You're supposed to cook. That's your part of being in the family. So just leave us alone. We're going to watch TV, play with our phone, do homework. And at that point, we feel something that they never intended for us to feel. And listen, but however, it's real. I mean, if you've ever experienced anything similar, put it in the chat that I have. Yeah, this goes parents, in-laws, kids, spouses. We can go on and on with the scenarios. But and you might say, well, yeah, but you're my son. You're supposed to do that. You're my employee. You know, you're supposed to do that. My spouse. You're supposed to do this. I mean, aren't we entitled to these things? We would never say that we were entitled, but by not saying thank you, the message we send is that we're entitled. It's rejection. And at the end of the day, unexpressed gratitude actually has the same result, the same outcome, the same effect as rejection. And let me tell you just for a second about the people in your life. In fact, all of us, God created all of us as acceptance magnets. See, we gravitate toward environments and relationships of acceptance. We're repelled by environments and relationships where we don't feel accepted. Men, the way we experience, look, we don't compete in things that we can't win because winning feels like acceptance, losing feels like rejection. And so we very rarely compete in any arena where we don't feel like we can win. And we are repelled by environments where there might be some rejection. And unexpressed gratitude has the same effect as rejection. And so over time, it's you with your kids, you with your husband, you with your wife, with your boss, the people that you work with. If we continually refuse to express gratitude, then we will actually drive their heart out of the relationship with us. See, over time, unexpressed gratitude / ingratitude / rejection / entitlement, it drives people's hearts out of the relationship. And if there's somebody on the other side of that relationship saying, thank you, you're so kind, you're so warm, you're so thoughtful, I'm telling you, that's where their heart is going to go because their hearts gravitate toward that kind of gratitude. So the question is, are we, for the rest of our lives and in our key relationships, are we willing to be a returner? And I know that for some of you that are in married relationships or relationships where you're trying to move forward in marriage, did you know that simply making it a habit to express what you feel in terms of gratitude, that actually may be what saves your relationship? Because it's impossible to see in the mirror. And the only way to avoid becoming an ungrateful person is to be very proactive and decide, I am going to be the one. Are we willing to be the one that takes the time to go back and say out loud what's already in our hearts? Just to say out loud what we felt 1,000 times, to say out loud what we've been too busy to say because we're always moving forward and haven't taken the time to say thank you. And listen, guys, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I can't do it today because she'll know that I'm only doing it because you said to do it. Men, let me predict your future. If your wife has even average emotional intelligence, she will not say to you, you're just saying that because he said to say it. She will be amazingly grateful that you expressed it. Now, ladies, some of you, your husbands, they have served you and served you and served you. And you never say thank you. Maybe you never heard your dad say thank you or never heard your mom say thank you. And then in your heart, you don't feel like you're entitled, but maybe we're acting like it by being silent. And because they don't see your heart, they don't see what you say to other people. All they hear is what you don't say to them. Look, I want to challenge us all today. Just look into their eyes and say thank you. And then you just say whatever comes to mind that you're grateful for. Students, kids, teens, you live in a culture where you are made to feel so ridiculously entitled that it's sickening. And it's not your fault. Look, it's not your fault. You didn't create culture. You were just born into it. And so it's not your fault. But you could be the returner. You could be that one, that crazy teenager that actually says thank you to their parents. Now, don't text them. Don't snap them. No, get personal. Say, hey, mom, hey, dad. You know, even if your parents have split up, they have still done a lot for you. And look, be a returner. Be a returner and be the one and do something unusual in your culture that says you don't owe anybody anything because they owe you everything. You don't have to fall for that. You don't have to believe that, students. You can be the one. And then there is the one that if anybody deserves gratitude, if anybody deserved to be thanked, it would be our God. It would be the Father. For paying the price of his son so that we would never have to smell the scent of hell. It would be Jesus who willingly died on the cross and once again so that we could have a relationship with him and never be separated from God. It would be for the Holy Spirit that walks with us and in us through everything, even through our own boneheaded mistakes that we make. That he will never leave us, that he is always with us. If anybody deserves gratefulness, thankfulness, it would be God himself. But how often do we forget what he has done for us? How often are we just moving ahead? You know, wow, cool, I'm healed, and then we're on. Or, wow, that raise did come through. God is true to his promises in all areas. You know, wow, God got me through that. He strengthened me through the whole thing. And then we forget to be the one to come back and thank him. We forget to tell him how amazing he is, how great he is. We forget to thank him for our very lives and that we are kings and queens in this kingdom with him, with the love of God shed abroad in our heart. We forget to thank him that we are light and salt in the world, that we have a purpose and a destiny. So, whatever's come to mind today, just decide you're gonna be the one. That you're going to go back to those who have enabled you to move forward in whatever area of your life. And whatever you do, God will honor that. And he will honor it in those key relationships if we will decide that we are going to be the one. If you'll commit to be the one, put it in the chat right now. Just say, I'll be the one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, none of us say thank you enough. There's not enough time to write all the notes. But Father, somebody came to mind during this message. God, just give us the courage to act. God, do something miraculous in us. Break down barriers that have been there for so long we don't even remember how they got there. Heal relationships between spouses and friends and parents and students. God, I thank you. And I pray that you would use our persistent gratitude to draw relationships back together. And God, on behalf of all of us, I just want to say thank you for sending Jesus into this world to die for our sins, to make these things possible, and for preserving this story for 2,000 years for our benefit today. In Jesus' name, Amen.